Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and today we're going to be talking about the November FOMC meeting, the results from that, and obviously the impact on the stock today. We've also got an update on Q3, Tesla sales in California, China sales as well, and a few other items to go through. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla up 2.4% today, nice day, closing at $205.66. The market's really strong today as well, the NASDAQ finishing up 1.6%, rising about 1% after the FOMC meeting started today. So we'll start off there. Obviously, that's probably the biggest driver of the results today. But one quick thing before we get in that is Ron Barron commented this morning, as he tends to do, on Tesla and SpaceX. Never hurts the stock, I don't think. Of course, stuff that we've heard before, but he reiterated that he views Tesla's valuation as possibly hitting $4 trillion in the future, also noting that SpaceX has the chance to be even bigger. So always good to hear from Ron Barron. He was on MarketWatch this morning to share some of those thoughts. So that may have impacted Tesla a bit, but as we can see throughout the day performance, I think the FOMC meeting a bigger driver. So with the FOMC statement that came out a couple hours before market close, that didn't have as much of an impact as the commentary afterward. As we can see here, not many changes in the language. I know I'm covering that a bit. Here's the old statement from September. Here's the new one from today. So they just updated the language here saying, you know, expanding at a solid pace, to expand it at a strong pace in the third quarter, referencing the GDP growth that we had seen, the preliminary GDP growth that we had seen earlier. And they also added that job gains have moderated since earlier in the year, but remain strong. Previously, that just said that job gains have slowed in recent months, but remain strong. So again, pretty similar language, not anything too major. They added financial to tighter credit conditions, so tighter financial and credit conditions noted in that second paragraph. So nothing too major. Again, mostly what we heard from the call or from the conference afterwards, these were kind of my notes from there. As we expected going into it, I don't think we heard too much new. So I don't think there was one thing that we could go through and pinpoint, okay, you know, although the markets pretty clearly, you know, rose here at a specific point in time, listening to it, I don't think there was a specific moment or a specific comment that did this. I think probably just the commentary throughout. So looking at the notes here, Powell said that they are not confident yet that they have achieved a sufficiently restrictive stance, but also not confident that we haven't. So again, just continuing to kind of pause right now and see where things go. Said that they're looking for persistent material changes. They've been pleased with some of the data that they've been seeing so far, with inflation figures starting to come down, particularly the core PCE, he noted, for the third quarter coming down 0.6%. But he said financial conditions have clearly tightened. We just don't know how persistent that will be. So that's in essence why they have paused. Again, nothing I don't think too surprising there. Maybe if I had to pick one comment that I could point to that, you know, read a little bit more dovish for inflation rates or for interest rates would be him saying that they are getting reports from housing that the effect of increased rates could be quite significant and that they're starting to see slowdown in that sector. That's been a little bit stickier, particularly with rents, particularly how that gets reported in some of the inflation data. But he did note pretty clearly here that they're starting to see that change a little bit. So that's probably a positive in terms of expectations. He did say that they're not thinking about rate cuts at all. Pretty standard, you know, language there from him. Haven't made a decision for December. Not difficult to raise again after a long pause. So like we had talked about yesterday, I don't think anything too surprising coming out of that. But nevertheless, the FedWatch tool here from CME Group does show expectations for a continuation of the pause in December, increasing a little bit. So, you know, 70% previously, now up to an 80% expectation for that pause. And then you're kind of seeing a similar shift in future meetings as well in terms of expectations, maybe about a 10% increase in those expectations for pauses or future rate cuts when those, you know, may be appropriate. So again, I think mostly just kind of getting through the meeting without any surprises is probably welcome news for the market. All right, and then getting into Tesla stuff, we don't have a ton today, but Subaru did announce that they are going to be adopting the North American Charging Standard, or NACS. So they'll be joining the Supercharger network in 2025. They also do talk about offering an adapter at that point as well. Not that they're a huge EV player, but they have done some development work with Toyota. So shortly following the Toyota announcement, not too surprising to see Subaru join as well, but, you know, limited impact on that. And then just a quick one here, Tesla's increased the price of the solid black paint, particularly for the Model Y for some reason, by $500. So previously it was $1,500, they've bumped that up to $2,000. This used to be the free base color, so I guess if you had black at that point, welcome news that this is now a more expensive color, but maybe that'll help Tesla's margins a little bit. If they find this is one of the more popular colors, and maybe there's a little bit less price elasticity on it, could boost things a little bit. And then we also got an interesting video here from Joe Tegmeyer from his drone flyover video of Giga Texas today, showing the Cybertruck doing some driving around, maybe a little bit of testing. Kind of seems to be doing something that would be akin to a crab walk that we've seen in vehicles like the Hummer, the EV Hummer. So you can kind of see the frame of the vehicle seems to not be exactly straight as the vehicle's driving forward, which would mean that both of the both the front and the rear axle tires are facing the same direction, causing the vehicle to look like that, and that could be referred to as a crab walk. So it's not the most highly angled version of what we have seen with this, so it's a little bit unclear if this is going to be a feature that Tesla offers with this, but since we know that the rear wheels are capable of doing that, it wouldn't be too surprising to see that be a feature. So maybe Tesla doing a little bit of testing there from Joe's video, so nice to see that. And then we also got some news, once that goes away, that Tesla has been granted 100% foreign ownership in Malaysia, as well as Starlink at the same time. So good news for Tesla there. We talked maybe a couple months ago now about Tesla setting up that entity. So they have just now confirmed that they'll have 100% foreign ownership of that. So good news there for Tesla in Malaysia. All right, and then we've also got updated Q3 California EV sales, or total automotive sales as well. But particularly interesting here, if we look at Tesla's third quarter sales, so that's this column here, you can ignore the highlighting, that's something that they put on the document. But for Tesla in the third quarter, 60,000 vehicles sold, according to data from Experian. For Q2 though, this was actually 69,000. So Q2 was the first time Tesla had surpassed Toyota to become the highest volume manufacturer, or the highest volume seller in California. Unfortunately, we saw that drop down this quarter. You can see Toyota here at 70,000, Tesla at 60,000. So would have loved to have seen that continue. Tesla's market share figure actually dropped a little bit too, if we look at the year-to-date number. So in Q2, that was 13.6% versus the U.S. total at 4.3%. And then here, you can see Tesla down at 13.5% again, the total U.S. figure holding steady there. So a little bit disappointing of a quarter there. Again, just one state here for California, a big portion of Tesla sales though, as we can see. And we saw about a 13% decline there quarter over quarter. Now we know Tesla had downtime. We don't know how impactful that was to Fremont, which would probably be the most relevant for Tesla sales in California, obviously. We know there was downtime at Giga Texas though. So Model Y production from there certainly could have played a role in this figure. But most of the downtime seemed to be related to things like Project Highland and at Giga Texas. So we'll see. Hopefully this will bounce back a little bit more in Q4 when we have hopefully less of an impact of those things. Maybe give us a little bit clearer picture and fingers crossed. Hopefully Tesla can jump back above Toyota for that top spot in California. And then meant to cover this yesterday, but we did get updated China insured vehicle numbers for the week. So October 23rd through 29th. 10,800 vehicles registered, a nice increase from the prior weeks, as we can see in the chart, getting back to a more normal type of range for Tesla at this point in the quarter. And of course, we're now starting to see Highland Model 3s delivered. It was about 2,300 of these that were Highland. So you can kind of see pretty consistent figures there for just Model Y around that 8,000 level, now starting to get Highland added in. And I would expect that as we get next week's data, that will increase again. So exciting to see those begin. And then just a quick note for anyone that happens to be in Illinois. Illinois has now opened a program for EV rebates. So it's up to, or I guess it is a $4,000 rebate for EVs, $1,500 rebate for electric motorcycles. There is $12 million of funding for this, so only 3,000 rebates. It sounds like they are kind of taking these on a first-come, first-served basis. They do say that there will be a priority given to low-income purchasers if this starts to run low. So I'm not sure exactly how they handle that priority. It's not 100% clear. Outside of that though, there don't seem to be any really relevant restrictions that would exclude Tesla vehicles. So nice boost there for Illinois. And then the last couple of things, just wanted to highlight a transcript that has been posted by The Verge of the recent X all hands meeting. So we've seen a couple of paragraphs about that come out so far, talking about some different features that X would add, but really interesting. I actually linked this in the show notes today because I think it was just a great read. And it's not all that relevant to Tesla. I've highlighted here one piece that is. They're talking about the Twitter for you, or sorry, for the X for you feed being determined less on heuristics, more off of neural networks, similar to what Tesla has done with self-driving. Elon said that they are now calling this version Rodeo. So just kind of an interesting fun fact there. So that was really only the only Tesla-related stuff. But again, I would just recommend reading through this. It gives a lot of insight into what's going on at X. It does a way better job of that than any media coverage or anything that you might actually see on X itself. It just gives a really robust and, you know, holistic view of what they've accomplished so far and where they're going, which, although may not be directly relevant to Tesla, we have seen the impact that that relationship can have. So I still think important to understand. And then this, I just thought was an interesting note to highlight. Linda talked about how someone had asked her, you know, what is one thing that people at X should stop doing next year? What is one thing they should start? She said something to stop is kind of just stop paying attention to the noise, right? Stop paying attention to what people around you are saying about the company and things like that, which you could interpret as like, you know, trying to put a filter there, but really just trying to avoid the noise, keep your head down, focused on what the team is building. They can see it internally. They can understand what is actually happening. And there's so much there to be excited about. So really just focusing on that. And I think that is, you know, it's been a difficult period, I think, with Tesla stock. And although this isn't talking about that specifically, I just think it's a good thing to remember, like, in general, try to ignore the noise a little bit, try to focus on, you know, long-term vision, where things are heading long-term. And there's a lot there to still be excited about with the company. So again, would recommend reading that. And then lastly, somebody noticed on X that XAI has filed a couple of trademarks for a couple of presumed products. One is called Grok and one is called Prompt IDE. So seeing some progress there, obviously just very early stage stuff from XAI, but hopefully we'll hear more about that soon. All right, that'll wrap it up for today then. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, November 2nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.